from Radio EcoShock. As the climate shifts, animals and plants are being displaced. Humans also suffer from severe storms, drought, and heat. New evidence proves the ocean conveyor currents, including the Gulf Stream, are weakening due to Arctic melting. So we all need to know, did the world avoid climate catastrophe in last week's climate negotiations in Montreal? Nature's jury is still out. We can follow the winding course of the conference through the pronouncements of Margaret Beckett, the UK Environment Secretary. Here in our first quote, she talks about false euphoria and false despair, and I fear that her quote is the real obituary of this conference.
Well, those of you who were here yesterday morning will recall perhaps my characterization of the rhythm of some of these events as first the false euphoria, followed by what one hopes is the false despair. Well, we're certainly in the despair bit. Only time will tell whether it is false or not.
In the final weary EU press conference on Saturday morning following all-night negotiations, now we hear the UK minister talking about the most that they could hope to achieve.
To get everybody to agree to begin that process of forward discussion is the most significant thing we could achieve.
It's hardly enough to do anything about climate change. Still, Mrs. Beckett feels the conference was a success.
I think it's generally accepted that what we have is a highly successful outcome to the climate change conference, a hugely important day in the global effort to tackle climate change, and important not least because it was clear that the whole global community, including some of the key players such as the United States, India, and China, have agreed to work together through the United Nations process to examine the way forward. And we in the European Union and we, the UK, will do our utmost to ensure that that process is itself a success. Of course, it's very much the beginning.
Most environmentalists are positive, even jubilant. Here is a press release from Greenpeace International. How often does one walk into one of these things and come out at the end of it, at 6 in the morning, with just about everything you asked for coming in? Not very often. That was Greenpeace climate campaigner Steve Sawyer's reaction at the end of the climate summit in Montreal. The new Kyoto Protocol is stronger today than it was 2 weeks ago. This historic first meeting of the parties has acknowledged the urgency of the threat that climate change poses to the world's poorest people, and eventually to all of us. The decisions here have cleared the way for long-term action, said Bill Hare, Greenpeace International Climate Policy Advisor in Montreal. The meeting agreed to the following. 1. To start urgent negotiations on a new round of emission reduction targets for the second commitment period of the Kyoto Protocol. That's from 2013 to 2017. A special group has been established to ensure that these negotiations are concluded as soon as possible. This is necessary to ensure the continuity of the carbon markets and to allow governments to put policies and measures in place to ensure that the new, deeper emission targets are met. 2. To start now to review and improve the Kyoto Protocol. Mandated under the existing treaty, this review will formally begin at next year's meeting. 3. A 5-year plan of action on adaptation to assist least developed countries to cope with the impacts of climate change. This program will begin to address the fact that climate change already impacts the world's poorest and that it will get much worse in the coming decades. It is the ethical, political, and legal responsibility of the industrialized countries to provide for this. As expected, the Bush administration attempted to derail the process, at one point even walking out of the negotiations, but the rest of the world showed a resolve to move ahead regardless. For once, the Bush administration was forced back to the table and into agreement with the international community. No doubt the overwhelming presence of U.S. civil society at these talks has had a positive effect. The U.S. has continued to attempt to lure countries away from the UN multilateral climate regime with its international emission trading to an ineffective approach based on voluntary actions and so-called partnerships. Today, however, governments have agreed to hold substantive talks beginning in May 2006 on the Kyoto Protocol's second commitment period, sending an unmistakable signal that we are on the road to a new and more ambitious target. According to Sawyer, quote, "What will be remembered is that this was the moment when the future of the Kyoto Protocol and legally binding emissions reductions and the cap and trade system was secured. Australia and the U.S. are isolated as never before, and the overwhelming presence of the U.S. state governments, cities, trade unions, businesses, churches, and youth, and many other parts of civil society gave the rest of the world confidence that Americans do care about climate change, and that the Bush administration's intransigence will sooner rather than later be remembered as an unfortunate historical footnote. That was from Greenpeace at www.greenpeace.org. Other environment groups, such as Friends of Earth, are equally enthusiastic. Canada's Elizabeth May from the Sierra Club was teary-eyed as she commended, quote, a series of agreements that may well save the planet, end quote. So are the government negotiators. Canada's Environment Minister, the host for the United Nations Conference on Climate Change, announced the final compromise just after dawn on Saturday morning, following more than 48 hours of intense negotiation, saying, we delivered. What did they agree on? The Toronto Star sums up two main accomplishments, quote, Canada and the 39 other developed countries already bound by the protocol to cut greenhouse gas emissions by an average, and in effect, 5%, by 2008 to 2012 established a process to negotiate deeper cuts to follow. Efforts to include a firm deadline for those negotiations failed. The countries only agreed that they shall aim to finish the work in time to ensure there is no gap between the current round of cuts and the next. All of the countries at the conference will begin a dialogue about any other possible measures to cut emissions. This non-binding process, watered down several times to overcome American objections, has neither deadlines nor specific objectives. But the Star continued, quote, on the face of it, any action that flows directly from these and other conference decisions seems certain to be too little and too slow to head off climate catastrophe. Some scientists say the world has no more than a decade to get things on track, so some are disappointed. Quote, the negotiators seem to operate in their own world, largely divorced from the science, said John Stone, a Canadian climate scientist who holds a key position on the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. There doesn't seem to be any understanding that time is running out. Well, back here on Earth, the natural world has little to celebrate. Essentially, the humans have agreed there is a problem to their carbon economies, and maybe, well, someday, they will have to do something about it. In reality, none of the big polluters in the Kyoto deal, in Europe or anywhere else, has reduced carbon pollution. Everyone continues to pump out more CO2 each year, setting records for consumption of fossil fuels and forest destruction. Since all this carbon stays in the atmosphere for at least 100 years, every oily day adds to the century sentence we hand our children and grandchildren. Our great leaders have only agreed to agree and talk more. The Montreal Conference will not save the world, but you can succeed where they failed by burning and consuming less. This has been news from Radio EcoShock at www.ecoshock.org. That's ECO, shock like an electric shock, .org.